praise and just kind of a recognition, if you will. And I want you to mark a date on your calendar, and that is February the 11th. And let me tell you a little bit about it. It's senior night for our kids' basketball, and we got some really good seniors here at our school and here at our church, and it's going to be a big night. But Friday night, I was down at Jennings County for the basketball game. I was refereeing the freshman game at Jennings County, and then when the freshman game was over, I went into the main gym and watched the beginning of the varsity game, and Sandy and her choir, and of course she had some alumni there, but man, I still think that Jennings County High School has the best pregame ceremonies, I guess, if you will, with a color guard marching in, and they do a great job. The choir does a great job, and they're going to be here for that night, right? The 11th, February the 11th. So if you want to be blessed, come out and hear Sandy's choir before the basketball game, do the national anthem, and then if you want to see a really neat presentation of our flag, come out for that. I was blessed by that. That was pretty cool, and well done, Sandy. Appreciate you doing that, and appreciate you being here. I appreciate all of you being here. It's a good number for Sunday night again. I don't know if you really want to hear what I have to say or if you just like to see the preacher sweat. you like to see that a little bit. This morning certainly was a difficult subject matter, but certainly, you know, there's really nothing to ever apologize for when you're preaching the Word of God. And the same is true here tonight. Now, I understand that there might be some differences of opinions and some things that we say. I'm going to offer some opinions tonight as well that maybe aren't 100% backed up by Scripture, but it's just some things that I might think as well, in addition to the Scripture. But I just want to, this is going to be a little interactive tonight as well. I really don't know, you know, again, I've never really done this before, wrote a sermon so long that I felt like I had to split it in two and finish it on Sunday night. And so I really don't know if I've got a half hour's worth of material tonight or not, so you might have to help me out. We'll see. But let's just start off by saying, what are the key ingredients? Let's just take three answers. Just raise your hand and give me an answer. What do you think are the key ingredients to making a marriage successful? Somebody raise their hand. Yes. Communication, absolutely, very key. Compromise. Okay, very good, Gary. Church, absolutely. Okay, very good. Okay, Marilyn, you got one? Trust. Well, apparently there's a lot more than just three. Keep going. Let's go here. Go ahead and Doris, you go ahead and go, and then we'll go back to Barb. Three people involved. Cord of three strands. I know where you're going with that. Yeah, the third has to be God. Absolutely. Yeah, Barb. Yeah, I agree with that. That's good. I don't know if you heard what she said or not, but a lot of times, and I even talk about that in some of the premarital counseling that I do, is that, you know, people have this mindset that a marriage is 50-50, and no, it's 100-100. If you're just putting 50% in, you're probably not going to do well. Anybody else want to go ahead?
Love.
Oh, yeah. Boy, it took us like seven answers to get to love, but that's yeah. Duh. Yeah.
You have to believe in marriage.
Have to believe in marriage and the institution of marriage.
The idea of I can get out of it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you go into it with that idea, you're going to get out of it someplace down the
line. Absolutely. We see that attitude just in prenup agreements, right? We see these prenuptial agreements like, you know, I'm just covering my bases in case, you know, things don't work out. I've got an out. And certainly, you know, it's kind of like you've got your almost get out of jail. That's not a good word. anyway, let's move on. 1 Corinthians, I want to repeat this passage that I shared this morning toward the end, and I want to go ahead and repeat that and then move on to what we're talking about here tonight. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. He said, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. Again, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. The psalmist in 119 verses 9 through 11, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So again, we're back to this heart issue. You know, if you are seeking the Lord with all of your heart, if the Lord is the focal point of your marriage, divorce is never an option. Would you agree with that? You know, I sit down again, I talk with couples, and I go through the triangle. You've seen the triangle before. I think we've illustrated it here before. You've got God at the top, and you've got the husband on one side, you've got the wife on the other, and as each work to get closer to God, they're getting closer to each other. And I tell people that if you follow that, if you are working on getting closer to God individually, you're going to get closer together, and it will divorce-proof your marriage. Here's the final two verses of this section that we started talking about this morning. This is Matthew 5, 31 and 32. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Now, I'll be honest, we are tempted to dismiss this teaching in the churches today because I feel like it has become such a common thing in our era. It has become such a socially acceptable thing. But Jesus spoke these words when divorce was extremely common as well. You know, Jesus didn't say, well, you know, I know it's the thing to do, so we'll just kind of, you know, sugarcoat this a little bit. No, all that had to be done back in those days was to sign a certificate of divorce. It's done. You know, and Jesus is saying, no, let's rethink this, you know. The woman at the well had been married 5 times. So, you know, it's probably pretty easy to get married and probably pretty easy to get divorced. But Jesus, he was teaching his followers in the Sermon on the Mount, he's teaching us today as well, that we need to think differently than what the rest of the world thinks. You know, and he said, no, don't get a divorce. The only exception was if your mate was unfaithful. So, the whole idea of this is that sexual promiscuity breaks that covenant, okay? That exclusive covenant that you have with the other person. But even if there is unfaithfulness in your marriage, the ideal situation is to forgive the person. If you are the one who has been the offender, then you need to repent of your action. The ideal situation is to renew that commitment to forgive one another the way that God forgives and renews his relationship with us. And sometimes it's just not possible because there's repeat offenders, you know, and some people just don't want reconciliation. But just because there's marital unfaithfulness, I don't think Jesus was saying, you know, hey, if your mate has an affair, just get rid of him. It's just that simple, just that easy. I think he wants you to work at it and work at it. But if there is continual unfaithfulness, if there's no repentance, there's no hope for reconciliation. It's like our relationship with God. If there's no repentance in your life with God, reconciliation is not possible. You have to come to God with a contrite heart, and you have to say, Lord, you know, forgive me. I want to be reconciled to you, and I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to show you how much I love you by changing the way that I'm doing things. Okay? I think that same thing is what needs to be the key ingredient when, you know, marital unfaithfulness has taken place. Jesus repeated this teaching a little bit later. And said, the disciples said to him, if this is the situation between husband and wife, then it's better not to marry. And Jesus replied, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it's been given. Sometimes Jesus' words are hard to accept, aren't they? We don't necessarily like them all that much. And Jesus didn't give us his word just to make us happy. He gave us his word to make us holy. And I think I heard Rick actually say that one time. And I think that is so, so true. But if you really want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you are to accept his word. You are to be distinctive. You are to live as a Christian, even in a world where we're just surrounded by so many non-Christians and the thinking is so different. And you need to treat your marriage as a sacred covenant that you have made not only with your spouse, but you've made this covenant with God. And Doris alluded to that just a moment ago. Your marriage has to be, you have to consider that it's a three-person entity. Husband, wife, and Jesus, right in the midst of it. God has to be such a big part of it. And the Bible says when that happens, that cord of three strands is not easily broken. Okay? So, this is a little bit of a thorny issue. I don't know everybody's situation. There might be some of you who are sitting out there tonight who've been through a divorce, and it's been tough. And I'm so sorry for you if you've had to go through that. And I know it's really difficult. Some of you might even disagree with what we're talking about tonight, but I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then I'm going to allow for you maybe to chime in and give your opinion, then I'm going to give mine. Okay, and then, out of that, I think we're going to see some things that Jesus clearly tells us. Question number one, if adultery is the cause of the divorce, is the innocent party free to remarry? Now, all I talked about tonight so far was, you can get a divorce, but if you go through that, are you free to remarry? Let's just take a couple of opinions, what you think. And don't be afraid. We're not going to ask you to leave if you're wrong. If you give us two wrong answers, then you got to leave. But one wrong answer, we'll cut you some slack. No, seriously, what do you think?
What's your parameters again?
The question was, if the cause of your divorce is marital unfaithfulness, are you free to remarry? Let's put it this way. How many say yes? Raise your hand. How many say no? How many are afraid to raise your hand right now? Because okay, all right, very good. That's fine. Here's what I think, and then I'll ask the question again. In the Old Testament, When someone was divorced because of unfaithfulness, they were free to remarry. Okay? So when Jesus comes and he says, is it any different? Would he contradict the Old Testament? Yeah. Gary? Uh-huh. Okay. And then if you can't get along, you're saying go ahead, try to get along without being married, remarried? Yeah, okay. Okay. I think again, this is my opinion. I believe that you're free to remarry because the Old Testament concept of divorce freed the party to remarry. Okay? Now, again, the covenant has been broken, and now if you are the offender, I think that might be a little bit different, but if you are the one who is offended, you're not the one that committed adultery, then, I think you have that freedom to remarry. Again, that's an opinion. I know some of you probably don't agree with that, but I'll just let you know that if someone comes into my office and wants to be married, and those are the circumstances, I'm gonna take care of that probably. Okay, question number two. What if adultery wasn't the cause, but the divorced mate refuses to reconcile? Should the Christian continue to wait and maybe burn with passion, or is he or she free to remarry? Boy, it's quiet in here, isn't it? Yeah.
How can I word this? We have to look into the future rather than trying to change the past.
Okay. It does. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you gotta forgive. You gotta ask for forgiveness, and you've got to correct the problems that may have caused the divorce in the first place.
Okay.
Either side, you know, because both, you know, there's two sides.
So are you saying a person is free to remarry or not? If it's not a case of infidelity, are they free to remarry? Okay. Okay.
With the understanding that you have to have higher integrity to go along with it.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to disagree with you, respectfully. I love you. But I think that Jesus was pretty clear that the only excusable reason for divorce is unfaithfulness. Now, I think that a Christian should work as hard as they possibly can for reconciliation and discipline those desires. And if reconciliation never happens, you still have a responsibility to be obedient to what Jesus tells you. You know? And that's not a popular viewpoint. Again, Dwight already doesn't agree with me. There might be a few of you sitting out there that don't agree with me as well. But Jesus never put any parameters on it other than marital unfaithfulness, infidelity. So, that's opinion. Go ahead, Russ.
Taking it pretty complicated.
Sure it does. Yeah, yeah.
A person that's divorced marries a person that's never been divorced, and they become Christian, and they know that they shouldn't have married the person in the first place. Are they to leave that person, divorce them?
You're ahead of me just a little bit, all right? And we're going to dive into that in just a little bit. And just tuck this away and be thinking about it while we're talking about some of these other things. But are we responsible for a very poor choice that we made? You know, certainly we're responsible. But before we came to know Jesus. So tuck that away, be thinking about that. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. Very, very, I'm glad you brought that up. And you get a gold star from somebody that might you usually do. Yeah, okay. For somebody that might have gold stars with them, you'll get one of those. So here's my, you know, I guess I'll just kind of leave this part at this. Work for reconciliation as hard as you possibly can. Discipline those desires that you have. Just like we talked about this morning, the whole lust issue and the whole, internet pornography and things such as that. You know, you just have to do your best to control those urges that you have. And I think the same is true in this case. Work for reconciliation and, just pray about those. Yeah, you know, I can't answer that question. I think that's between you and the Lord, or someone in the Lord. I'm not saying you. Someone in the Lord, if they're in that situation. So, yes, Laura, you got something there. Okay. Yeah. It's tough. I mean, it is a tough, tough passage of Scripture. And there's a lot of opinions about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when they will not reconcile. I don't know. You know, again, these are, I wish I had more clear-cut answers tonight. I guess tonight's purpose is just to guide your heart and your thinking to seeking out what God would want. Because, you know, Russ has already alluded to it, things can get so complicated and each individual circumstance is different, you know. But that's not given... You know, that's not giving you an out to go against the Word of God, but...
I would have a very hard time trying to convince somebody to stay with somebody and work it out if they're being physically or mentally abused.
Yeah. I would too. When that has happened, I've had people come to me, and in those situations, based on what I have seen. It's not as unique as you might think. Yeah, that's different. Yeah, get out. But separate. That doesn't mean it has to end in divorce. It may lead to that eventually. But the first thing is, you know, be safe. Kids need to be safe. Get out. Maybe legally separate for a while or whatever. But, and then still continue to try to work out reconciliation. You know, God's the example, right? And what have we done in our relationship with God? We've all been really bad, right? I mean, we've all sinned and we've all fallen short. And God doesn't just say, okay, I'm going to turn my back and I'm going to forget about you. I'm going to forgive you every single time that you come to me. Every single time. You know? Now, don't be in harm's way. I agree. But I certainly wouldn't run right to the lawyer's office either and start, you know, that process. Again, it's tough. It is so, so tough. Absolutely. You have to be safe. You know, you just have to, God's given you a brain, you know, to be safe. But at the same time, you can't get around some of these teachings about divorce. What if, let's bring this up, what if the previous mate has remarried? Okay, so here's the situation. You have gotten a divorce, right? And Jesus said, don't get remarried. What if the mate that you were with then gets remarried? Are you free to remarry? Now we're getting really sticky, aren't we? Mike's sitting up there like, I don't know if I want to answer this or not. I'll give you my answer. I think you are, because the marriage covenant's been broken. You know, the whole idea is this. Again, you need to think of the marriage relationship in the context of a covenant, right? When is that covenant broken? Anybody want to take a stab at that? When is it broken? What's that? When that mate dies, yeah. That's certainly one way, for sure. And I think that the covenant has been broken as well when someone divorces and then remarries, because you can't have a covenant with two separate entities, right? Can you? So that covenant there has been broken. Yeah, I agree. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I totally. What's that? Oh, wow. That's a whole nother sermon. You know, that's wrong. It's wrong. Okay. Wrong answer. Yeah. Yeah. But that happens all the time as well. You know, that's wrong even if there's no divorce or remarriage or anything. That's just wrong. So, yeah.
I was just going to point out in the verses that you read, Matthew 5, 31 and 32, mm-hmm. it says, but I say to you, everyone that divorces his wife except on the grounds of, if they divorce for some other reason, and then after the fact, a year or two later, they commit adultery, that divorce wasn't because of adultery. The adultery followed the divorce by some time.
Good point. Yeah. Good call. So you're saying no, they're not free to remarry?
I'm saying that the what Jesus said made it sound like the adultery had to be a prerequisite, that if the adultery follows on after the divorce, that's a separate situation.
Okay, so adultery is the cause of divorce, and because of adultery, then a person is free to remarry. So if a person divorces and hasn't committed adultery but divorces, but then remarries, then adultery has happened. Right?
But the divorce was not because of what happened 2 years after the fact.
But the bond is still broken, is what I'm saying, is that, okay, so I'll use you guys as an example, all right? Laura, you're just tired of the Purdue thing. And I'm sorry. that was not right. But let's just say you guys can't work it out, and there's no marital unfaithfulness, and you separate. You are divorced, right? But then you get remarried, which Jesus clearly said don't do, right? You have now committed adultery, and now the mate is free to remarry. No? Pray about that. I don't know. You know, that's what I think. Again, that's an opinion. It's tough, guys. It's really tough. Y'all are looking at me like you want to throw something at me. Come on, man. I'm just trying to help you through this process. I don't know. It's really something to think through. Yeah. Before you do that, come see me in the morning. We'll pray through that. What if there was a divorce and the ex-partner dies? Free to remarry? 1 Corinthians 7:39, a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she's free to marry anyone she wishes, but she must belong to the Lord. So I think that one there, I think most everybody agrees on that one. Even if a divorce has taken place, if that person dies, then. Now here's back to Russ's question. What if the divorce happens prior to becoming a Christian? I ask you to chew on that for a while, but we've been throwing a lot of other things around. What do you think? Gary?
Sin is sin.
Okay.
And if you can be forgiven of sin, you can be forgiven of that.
Okay, absolutely.
But I mean, there has to be a change.
There's the key. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new person. Yeah. The ideal would be for both people, maybe the previous mate. The ideal situation would be, let's say, neither one of you were believers, and we're talking about divorce, but the ideal situation would be for both people to come to Christ and work it out. 1 Corinthians 7:15 says, but if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. That's 1 Corinthians 7:15. Here's probably the most important question. If I divorced and remarried against God's will, can I be forgiven? Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the key, you know. God knows your heart. There's absolutely no sin that God cannot forgive. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ covers us all. Corrie ten Boom said there's no pit so deep that the love of God does not go deeper still. Yes, Russ.
With that in mind, if a person did remarry and realize what they did and ask forgiveness, do they continue to be married?
Yeah, here's the deal. Could you all hear what he was saying? Can you say that one more time just a little bit? Here, let me give you a microphone. This is the blue one here. And it's 7 o'clock now. So we're going to go a little bit overtime tonight, but the Cowboys are already out of the playoffs, so you don't care anyway. Go ahead.
Does a person that married, divorced and remarried, and then comes to Christ or realize they've sinned and asked forgiveness, forgiven for that sin, but do they continue to live with the person that they married in sin?
All right, let me answer that question with a question, okay? Can you unscramble eggs?
If you're God.
If you're God, right. Again, this is go ahead, I'll let John answer and then I'll...
I just want to make one counterpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You just asked the question, can you unscramble the egg? I could give back what I took that didn't belong to me.
Yeah, you could. But here's my only concern with comparing the two is that you break into my house and you steal stuff. That's not a covenant thing. Marriage is a covenant. And when one covenant has been broken and a new one is established with someone else, you don't unbreak another covenant. That's opinion. I don't know if that's right or not. You know, again, work toward reconciliation, but I don't think you go back and again, this is so hard. You can't go back and redo it, you know. Because that covenant has been broken, you know, and a new covenant has been established. And so to go back and, you know, break another covenant and then go back and try to reestablish a covenant with someone that you've broken it with, you don't.
To do that would involve a new divorce, and divorce is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, the key is your heart, this is why divorce is so hard. This is why God says I hate it, you know, but He doesn't say it's the unforgivable or the unpardonable, and only, you know, sometimes only you and God are the only ones that know what's going on in your heart and mind. And that's, you know, that's between you and Him. And I guess we just have to let God sort some of those things out. I would have a hard time counseling someone to break another marriage to go back and make another one try to work. Even though I know that some instances where that's happened, people that I know very well that's happened with, you know. Here's the deal. We have to be really careful too what we're saying about it, because I think there's become this mindset even within the church, go ahead and get divorced and remarry because I know God's going to forgive me. I think it's a different critter when someone who has divorced and gotten remarried and has just been through an absolute horrible circumstance, maybe even before knowing Christ, maybe after, I don't know, and gotten remarried, than someone who says, you know, that has the prenup or whatever, says, well, if this doesn't work out, if I can't handle the Purdue thing, then I'm just going to, you know, divorce. That, I think that's a different critter than you get married, you love someone, you vow to be with them for the rest of your life, and it just wasn't able to be reconciled, or at least in your heart and your mind, it wasn't. You made every effort to reconcile, and you didn't. You know, but then you've remarried, but you can't go back and. I don't think you break another covenant to go back and. It's tough, man. You keep digging, and it just gets, you know. It's hard. It's really hard. The ideal thing is you see. I'll close with this, and there's a big difference in saying my mate and I are having serious problems. If it doesn't get better, I'm going to get a divorce. And a person who says, my mate and I are having trouble, I'm going to live with this person for the rest of my life, and we better work this out or I'm going to be miserable. You know, there's an attitude there. And, you know, we have to be careful what our attitudes are like. And again, if you've made every effort to reconcile, even in the case of marital unfaithfulness, you know, you just got to work at reconciliation as best as you possibly can. I don't know. I'm sure we haven't cleared anything up tonight. We've probably muddied the waters as much as anything. But here's the thing, you know, and Dean and I were talking about this a little bit out in the hallway. I think what we're responsible for is knowing the Word of God and allowing His Spirit to convict us. And where we are convicted, we need to hold to those convictions. You know, and sometimes the Word of God convicts people in different ways. What? How y'all doing? Boy, they screeched. They recognized church was going on. If you are convicted in a certain way, you better live up to that conviction. And your convictions, Scott, my convictions might be different about some things. You do the best that you can possibly do in knowing the Word of God. So, any further comments before we close? It's close to 10 after. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, I don't know if you could hear what she was talking about. Edifice's son was married 6 months into their marriage. His wife was diagnosed with MS, and a lot of people down through the years have said, I wonder why, how does he stay with her? And that's because he took his commitment seriously. What an example. That's the example. That's what we shoot for. You know, and hopefully we all hit it.
We were married 62 years.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. If my parents, if my dad would have lived 6 more months, they would have been married 50 years. And, you know, I'm just thankful for their example. And I started to say this earlier when I was asking for what makes a marriage work. And all of those things that we talked about, one thing we didn't bring up was you got to laugh. I think you have to laugh. If you can't laugh at yourselves, and my dad was a master at that. He wasn't the most romantic devil in the world, but man, could he make mom laugh. And you know, that was awesome. They were a great example. But yeah, Russ.
No matter what the reason would be for divorce, it brings misery.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Could you all hear that? No matter what the reason is for divorce, it brings misery. It's painful. And that's why Jesus was so adamant about it. Do everything you can possibly do, you know, to work it out. And here's the thing that is staggering as well, is that I think it's something like 68% of second marriages fail. It's like 46% of first marriages fail. And the reason the numbers are so high that, you know, over 50% of marriages overall fail is because second marriages have a much, much higher divorce rate than first marriages. So as we talked about this morning, be on your guard because the devil wants to rip you apart. John?
Just make this comment. Back in the 1990s, I was elected to 2 terms in the Indiana House. I have been involved in writing legislation before. One of the most difficult things when you're writing law is trying to think about all the million different situations and how will this be interpreted 15 years from now in a court. And ultimately, doesn't matter whether you're looking at state law or federal law, ultimately it's going to come down to what does a judge say that means. And I would just, my final comment tonight, there are some things in the Bible I think are crystal clear. There are other things I think, you use a great term, these are thorny, tough issues that I can read it one way and think, well, this verse and this verse and this verse lead me to this conclusion. Somebody else looks at that verse but a couple of others and leads them to a slightly different conclusion. Ultimately, it's going to be in the judge's hands.
Yeah, yeah. Good call. Good call. Yes, absolutely. Did
you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think if you get a divorce, but yet you get remarried, and you have a very happy, healthy marriage the next time, I think when the end comes, that'll please God that, you know, you may have made a mistake, He forgave you for that, but then you did it right the next time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that it's just a, you know, you can't just go rob somebody every day and every night go to bed saying, please forgive me my sins, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's a good thought.
If you don't change.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you all for your input. Hopefully, we leave you with this, is that God is a God who forgives. And back to your communion meditation this morning about how we remember people and how we want to have this tendency to remember the harlot. You know, the prodigal, not the one that was forgiven, not the one that was used by God, but the negative things. And in this case of divorce, you know, I want to believe that if we are in Christ and we have been forgiven and we're covered by the blood of Jesus, that's the way He sees us. Yeah. We go with that. But thank you all for being kind and participating. And hopefully, you know. Got any other thoughts? Shoot me an email or let's get together and have some coffee. Or if you just need to pray, whatever, let's talk some more and work through this. But.